praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today.
He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. This well-known hymn answers the question many people have today. How do you know Christ lives? Well, today on Life Study of Luke, we are going to focus on the wonderful Christ in resurrection who lives in us. This is Matt Miller, and I'm filling in for Chris Wilde. And with me is Ed Marks. Ed, thanks for joining me today.
Well, Matt, I'm glad to be back. And Matt, we're going to talk about a great spiritual fact in the Bible, the fact that Christ lives in us. But this is not just an objective fact, like that line of that hymn says. It's also our subjective experience that when we receive Christ as our Savior, He comes into us and He lives within us. This is how we know He lives. And you and I can both testify He's very real to us. We can contact Him. We can experience Him. We can enjoy Him. I think this program will help us realize more of Christ living in us.
I'm really looking forward to it, Ed, and I hope our listeners will stay with us. I think they're in for a real treat today. This is our third and final program on our review of resurrection, a subjective aspect about Christ living in us. What would you like to say about this wonderful Christ in resurrection?
Matt, this is a very special program. These messages were released in 1984, and I had the privilege of being in the conference where Brother Lee spoke these messages. And it was a really life-changing experience for me. So we're in for a real treat on today's program.
Well, Ed, let's go on. And 1 Peter 1:3 is a very excellent verse related to this matter of resurrection. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has regenerated us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Let's join Witness Lee for today's life study.
The subjective aspect of Christ's resurrection issues in His living within us. He was transfigured into the life-giving spirit. And then He entered into us, to germinate us, the old creation to be the new creation. The chosen and redeemed people of God were the old creation. But Christ, as the life-giving spirit, entered into us. And His entering into us germinated us with the triune God.
Amen.
We all have been germinated.
Praise
with
the Lord.
What? Amen. With the triune germ.
Amen.
And this is the propagation, the multiplication of the man Savior.
Amen.
Right? In the first few chapters of the four Gospels, there was only one Christ. Unique. Only one.
Right.
But in John 20, after the breathing of the life-giving breath into the disciples, there were at least 121 Christ. Amen. And this 121, they had been meeting all the time for 40 days, even plus 10 days. They had a long prayer meeting of 10 days. The 120 disciples with one Christ. So there were 121 Christs meeting together to pray. Then after 10 days on the day of Pentecost, another 3,000 got all germinated. And this germination is just a propagation of the very pneumatic Christ in his resurrection. And from that time, he lived within the 3,120 members. So you could see those who were living there. That's Christ living there. That's the pneumatic Christ, who is a life-giving spirit, who is also the very Christ in resurrection.
Ed, let's stop right here. We need to digest this a little bit. I read before, 1 Peter 1:3, how the initiation of the believer's regeneration was Christ's resurrection. And also in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it speaks about a new creation. Can you talk a little bit more about these 3,121 Christs and maybe apply it in a practical way?
Yes, Matt. I'd like to mention another verse which is very critical, which is John 12:24. In that verse, the Lord compares himself to a grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying. Well, when that grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, while it's dying, it's also resurrecting. And when that grain of wheat resurrects, it produces many grains. So Christ was the one grain. And through his death and in his resurrection, he produced us as the many grains, the many sons of God. And this, as the many sons of God, we're the new creation. Now, I'd just like to mention what the difference between the new creation and the old creation is. When we were the old creation, before we received Christ, we didn't have the divine life and we didn't have the divine nature. But now, as Christians, Christ has sown himself into us. And now, actually, the triune God lives in us. I mean, if you look in the New Testament, Ephesians 4:6, for instance, says the Father is in us. So, Matt, Christ sowed himself into us as the seed of life. So now, as the new creation, we have the divine life and we have the divine nature. For instance, Colossians 3:4 says that Christ is our life. 2 Peter 1:4 says that we're partakers of the divine nature. So Christ is the living seed within us. Within us, we have the divine life and we have the divine nature. And going on in the New Testament, Galatians 2:20 says Christ lives in us. In Philippians 1:21, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ." So when Christ lives in us and when we live Christ, it is actually Christ living again through us. This is why Brother Lee said these 3,121 believers after the day of Pentecost, they, in this sense, they were the duplication of Christ because Christ was living through them. You know, Matt, what I'd like to point out here that factually we are the new creation, but we need to be those who allow Christ to grow in us so that he can be expressed through us so that people see Christ just like they saw Christ through these early believers in the book of Acts. And I would just like to encourage our listeners, every day we need to pray, "Lord Jesus, grow in me." See, we have Christ as the life seed within us, but that life needs to grow. Even that life needs to be maintained within us. So for life to be maintained, for life to grow in us, just like someone grows from a child to an adult, that physical life has grown within us. Well, how did that life grow within that person? It's because he ate nutritious food, he drank. Well, the scriptures talk about our need for us to eat Christ as our spiritual food, drink Christ as our spiritual drink, and breathe him as our spiritual breath. We need to practice this every day. John 6 speaks of eating Christ as our spiritual food. This means we need to get into the Word every day. That's how we can eat Christ. You know, we can do this by calling on his name, by saying, "Lord Jesus, I love you." And John 20, 22 speaks of our need to breathe Christ as our spiritual breath. And again, we can do this by calling on his name and by having uninterrupted fellowship with him throughout the day. So anyway, we need these life practices so that Christ can grow in us and be expressed from within us so that we are the new creation in reality.
You know, Ed, to enter into the experience of eating Christ, drinking Christ, this thought may be strange to people. How do you eat Christ? Just like in John 6, it was strange to those disciples who heard the Lord say this. So the next section with Witness Lee is going to be an important one because it was the Lord telling us that in resurrection, he would come as another comforter. Christ in resurrection is the Spirit. We need to understand these verses. So let me read them. The Lord said, John 14, 16 through 20, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of reality, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you yet a little while, and the world beholds me no longer. But you behold me, because I live, you also shall live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
In John 14, 16 through 20, there you have the Father and the first comforter. Then the second comforter was sent. And eventually, all these become the I in verse 20. Amen. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Amen.
It doesn't mean when I get into you, I jump out of the Father. But it means when I get into you, I get into you with the Father.
Amen.
Because it is not only that I am in the Father, but also that the Father is in me.
Right.
So when I get into you, the Father gets into you with me. And this is proven by one of the following verses in John 14, verse 23. "He who loves me, my Father and I will go to him to make abode with him." And this make abode with him is the very in you. Who is in you? Not only the Son, but the Son with the Father. And now the Son with the Father is the great I. Then how about the Spirit? You go on to verse 26 in the same chapter. "When the Spirit comes, the Son and the Father all come." You have to put all these verses together. Then you could see the very one who is within us is not so simple. This is the Son in the Father, and the Son in whom is the Father, and the Son who is coming with the Spirit. So eventually this I is the triune God.
Amen.
Then you have verse 19. "The world will not see me, but you will see me." Why? "Because I shall live." Wow. "You will see me because I shall live." That means I shall rise up and you shall live also. What does this mean? You have to study the entire New Testament that you can understand this short word. "You shall behold me because I shall live and you live also." That means I shall live in you to make you live.
Amen.
In other words, I shall live in you.
Ed, I just love this word that the Lord said, in essence saying, "I shall live in you. You shall live because I live in you." What a picture of resurrection. And I just pray that the Lord would give us the words right now to make this so clear and practical and experiential for those listening right now.
Yes, Matt, this is a great statement where the Lord says, "I shall live in you." And as Brother Lee pointed out, the I here is not merely Christ the Son, but the entire triune God lives in us. When we talk about Christ living in us, we're talking about him as the embodiment of all that God is. Colossians 2:9 says, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. So in this sense, when Christ comes into us, the entire triune God is in us. And just to mention three quick verses, Ephesians 4:6 shows that the Father is in us. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says that Jesus Christ is in us. And Romans 8:9 says that the Spirit of God dwells in us. So we have the triune God in us. We have the Father in the Son as the Spirit dwelling in our spirit. This is the reality of what the Lord says here. I shall live in you. Now, to make this practical, Matt, why does the Lord live in us? Well, the Lord lives in us for us to live by him. We need to live by him every day. How can we live by him? In the same book, the Gospel of John, in John 6, the Lord tells us how to live by him. In verse 57, he says, he who eats me, he also shall live because of me, or live by me. How can we live by the Lord? John 6:57 says we need to eat him as our spiritual food. This brings us back to the practicality of enjoying Christ as our spiritual food every day. We live by what we eat. So every day we need to have a good meal of Christ. Now, how can we do that? Well, in John 6, the Lord says, the flesh profits nothing. He said, it's the Spirit who gives life, and the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the way for us to enjoy the Lord as our spiritual food, as spirit and life, is we have to get into his word. We have to read his word, and we have to exercise our spirit while we read the word, which means we need to read his word with prayer and by prayer. According to Ephesians 6:17-18, when we receive the word by means of all prayer, this is the way we can enjoy Christ as our spiritual food. So every day, I would encourage our listeners, the first thing when you get up, you need to have a time to read the word, read the Bible, and to pray over what the Lord touches you with what you read. When you pray over that word, the Lord will become your spiritual food and you will live by him.
Ed, I appreciate in the last two questions I asked you, I mentioned that you'd make this applicable to the listener's experience. And both times it came back to this matter of enjoying the Lord as food. It's like the Lord is in us and he's hungry. He wants to be fed so he can grow in our heart. Let's go on and even develop this further with Galatians 5 in the verses that talk about walking by the Spirit. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for our final portion.
The very Christ is resurrection itself. This is why the entire New Testament charges us eventually to walk according to the Spirit. To walk according to the Spirit simply means to walk in resurrection. If you deny yourself, Christ lives. You die to live Christ. And Christ lives by you dying. Now, you are wrapped up with Christ. You and he become one seed. And you are the cell, and he's the life within. And the seal has to die. Then the life within lives. When you die, he lives. Right. So you die to live him. Amen. And he lives by your dying. Amen. Paul says, oh, that I may know him. Amen. And the power of his resurrection. Amen. You could never know him without knowing the power of his resurrection. Amen. Because today, the very he whom you live is resurrection. And this resurrection is the pneumatic Christ, which is the very life-giving Spirit. It was more than 40 years ago, I heard a short word slipped out of Brother Nee's mouth. He told us the reality of resurrection is the Spirit. I got deep in Christ and I got bothered. How could we say that the Spirit is the reality of resurrection? Eventually, I found out. That's right. resurrection and the pneumatic Christ and the life-giving Spirit are just one. This Christ is the resurrection, and this resurrection is the life-giving Spirit. So we have to walk according to this Spirit. When we walk according to this Spirit, we just walk in resurrection. We just walk with the life-giving Spirit. We are walking with the living Christ.
Amen.
And this living Christ is just Christ in resurrection.
Ed, walking by the Spirit really means to walk with the living Christ, who is just the Christ in resurrection. Isn't this a precious fact?
Yes, Matt, this is a precious fact. And again, I like to apply this to our experience. You know, Brother Lee pointed this out. The Scriptures tell us that in resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:45, that the last Adam, who was Christ, he became a life-giving Spirit. When we received him as our Savior, when we got saved, he came into our spirit. So see, 2 Timothy 4:22 says, the Lord, who is the Spirit, is now with our spirit. He lives in our spirit. So what should we do as Christians? We need to walk by the Spirit. This means we need to live, move, and have our being by the Spirit who lives in our spirit. Now, Matt, I'd just like to mention one simple point about how we can do this. If we're going to do this, we need to be those who exercise our spirit to touch the Lord as the living Spirit. And in doing so, we deny ourselves and we live by the Lord as our life in the Spirit. You know, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 speaks of this exercise. It says we need to exercise ourselves unto godliness in verse 7. And verse 8 speaks of bodily exercise. Well, this implies that the exercise unto godliness is the exercise of our spirit to live Christ in our daily life so that he can be expressed through us. And Matt, the best way to exercise our spirit is to pray. And the simplest way to pray is to call on the name of the Lord. You know, in Lamentations 3, 55 and 56, Jeremiah says in these verses that he was in the lowest pit. He was in a dungeon. And he says that he called on the Lord's name out of the low dungeon. He said that this calling was his breathing. So the way for us to exercise our spirit, to walk according to the Spirit, is to call on the Lord's name. Day by day, we need to live in the closest fellowship with the Lord by calling on his name and by speaking to him continually about all the details of our life. This is the way we can appropriate him as the life-giving Spirit.
And it's also how we walk in spirit.
That's right. And this is the way we can live in resurrection in a practical way.
This makes resurrection very practical, and I'm glad we could conclude resurrection in such a practical way. Loving the Lord, talking to the Lord, fellowshipping with him, calling on his name out of a low dungeon. What a wonderful conclusion to these programs on resurrection.
Yes, Matt, and also, like we said, we need to enjoy Christ as our spiritual food day by day by abiding in his word and praying over his word. These life practices are very critical for us if we're going to live in resurrection and walk by the Spirit.
Ed, our time's up. We're going to have to stop. It's really been enjoyable having this time with you. Thanks for coming in.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the next broadcast.
And thank you also for joining us today. We're so happy you could be with us, and we hope you enjoyed this matter of resurrection as much as we have. If you'd like to get a copy of the Life Study of Luke, you can call for more information at 1-888-543-3788. That's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. Or you can write to Living Stream Ministry, P.O. Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or you can send email to radio@lsm.org. This is Matt Miller in my last day of filling in for Chris Wilde. And on behalf of Ed Marks, we thank you all for listening today.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you'd like to read the works of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, just visit our website, ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll find over 600 complete titles available to read online free of charge. Witness Lee's ministry stood squarely on the shoulders of his mentor and co-worker, Watchman Nee, as well as those of countless ministers of the New Testament throughout the ages. The riches contained in his life study of the Bible represent the top, the cream of his 70-plus years of ministry, and range in topic from lessons for new believers to commentary and exposition on passages from every book of the Bible. But they all contain practical and deeper truths about the Christian life. Again, this wonderful online resource is available to you free of charge at ministrybooks.org. If you have questions or comments about this ministry or the program you heard today, email us radio@lsm.org or call us toll-free 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.